from Acts chapter 13, from verses 10 and 11, and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Oftentimes, we are confronted with false teaching. And if we are not careful, we are so bombarded with it that we may think that it's not so bad after all. After all, I have grown up and I've seen my religious grandmother. I have seen many a religious family members. And I know that they are not really embracing true Christianity, but they are calling upon Almighty God. And we recognize that these are good and decent persons. And although we recognize that their practice varies from the teaching of God, we reason to ourselves, is it so bad in reality? In this lesson, we want to bring out the awareness that we cannot just change the ways, the truth of God and the gospel, and everything is just okay. We cannot go about just condoning false teaching and practice without consequences. And so, for the next few minutes, we want to take up this concept, the concept of the perverted ways, or us perverting the ways of the Lord. And in this lesson, we are going to try to understand how it is that God views those who would pervert His way. Then we want to look at how do we pervert the ways of God. Because it's probably easy for us to say, well, we only pervert the way of God when we go about actively worshipping Satan, where we are bowing down to him and say, "Oh, Lucifer." But we are going to see that there is a lot of deceit and trickery that leads to a perverted way of following God, which is in fact really not following God. And so let us again have verse 10 of Acts chapter 13 read.
"And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief."
So you are full of all subtlety. You know, the concept here, it is deceit. But not only deceit, but also all mischief. So it's almost like you are playing some trickery here. And so what we want to realize is that this concept is telling us how God views those who are trying to pervert his will. But continue reading. Or read again. Start again. From
and said.
Start again.
Mm-hmm. And said, O full of all subtlety,
yes,
and all mischief,
yes,
thou child of the devil.
So not only is God seeing us as being deceitful and full of trickery, but he's seeing that when we pervert the ways of God, then we are in fact no longer his children, but children of Satan. Read.
Thou enemy of all righteousness.
So not only are you a deceitful person, a trickified person, if I can make up that word, but you are an enemy. Now that's a strong word. So it's not just that you are not a supporter. It's not just that you are not a friend. But you are an enemy of most things that are righteous.
Of all righteousness.
So what we are seeing here is that everything that is righteous, everything that God sees as right, you are in fact an enemy of that. Now, this is a very serious state to be in. So you are a child of the devil. You are an enemy of everything righteous. When what?
Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?
So when you don't stop from perverting the right ways of God, you are all these things. Now this is God's spokesperson talking here. And this is, he's representing God's view of the person who does not stop, who does not cease to pervert the ways of the Lord. Now, somebody says, this must be, Brother Webb, a person who is going outright and saying there is no God. This must be a person, Brother Webb, who is going about and saying Satan is the ultimate being in this universe. As we go further, we are going to see that it is not just the person who goes up publicly and outrightly says, I am against God, that is perverting the ways of God. In fact, as we delve into this, we are going to see that it is probably that this type of person might not even be as This person might, in God's sight, not be causing as much problem as the person who is going about as if God is with them, but that person is turning away from what God has said. But this will come out. So the question is, how do we pervert the way or the ways of the Lord? So not only by outrightly and actively saying the words, I am perverting your way, O God, but whenever there is deceit and trickery, wherever there is mischief, when we look at the Word of God and we try to change it up, then we are in fact perverting the ways of God. Over the next few minutes, if time will allow me, I want to look at the fact that we pervert the ways of God if we play around with His plan of salvation. We pervert the ways of the Lord if we play and if we tinker with His means of worship. We pervert the ways of the Lord if we make religious claims and perform religious acts that are contrary or deviate from those acts that he has stipulated. Probably most fundamental to perverting the ways of God is if we try to change and rearrange the Godhead. One would believe that a person who claims to be embracing the Lord God would at least get that right in terms of the deity. But yet there are so many who tell us that it is only God the Father that is a part of the Godhead. But let me not get ahead of myself. So let us examine how it is, or let us just scan around and let us look around us, persons in our family, our co-workers, those persons who we are interacting with, but yet we can see things that they are doing that from our knowledge of the Word of God, they are not aligned to the truth of the gospel. So in respect to the plan of salvation, the plan of salvation. You know, if we get the plan of salvation wrong, we are really off. Because what we would be doing, you know, is saying we recognize that we need salvation. And God would have specified how it is that he is going to do that saving. So if God has a way that he has dictated that we need to get salvation, and somebody takes out some things or adds some things, then our corner really dark. How are we then going to be saved? And so when we look, for example, at baptism, where someone would quickly say, well, we recognize from the study of God's word that a person who is going to be saved must hear the gospel. Hardly anyone will argue with that. Then they'll say, well, they agree that one must be baptized and must believe in order to be saved. They will even say there must be a change, there must be a turn around in order to be saved. So you must repent. They will even concede that we must own up Christ. We must confess that he is the Son of God. But, you know, I'm going to sort of put a little thing under here, because many persons don't really hang on to that. We're going to see that later. But then they will say, baptism is not important. It is not essential. It is optional. And I then wonder if they have read 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Now baptism doth also now save us. So how can you read such a passage and then say baptism is not essential to salvation? So if a person goes about and put an X on that, then they are removing a step from the plan of salvation. And then here's it. Somebody will say, well, okay, it can be baptized, but it can just be sprinkling. Then I would ask the question, have you read Romans chapter 6 from verse 3 onwards, where it points out clearly that we must participate in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, I don't know, Brother Mitchell probably needs to do some research. So probably they are thinking about cremation. So probably they are saying, well, if a person is cremated, then then he's not buried. And so you're going to sprinkle the ashes some places. But what we know is that when we are baptized, it must put us in a situation just like Christ died, we must die. Then we must be buried and then be resurrected. That occurs in baptism. And you can read Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Would they not have read Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19? Where it tells us clearly that we should not add or remove anything from the Word of God. Because a person who adds, God will add the... can we read that? Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19.
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book.
Yes.
If any man shall add unto these things,
if you add to these things,
God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
Yes.
And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy,
if you take away, then
God shall take away his part out of the book of life.
So if we go tinkering, if we go playing around with the plan of salvation, we may very well, or we will, be taking away our own salvation. Then, Brother Webb, I heard you talk about the removing. But how would a person add? And does anybody add to the plan of salvation? Yes, they do. Do you know that there are religious bodies right here in Jamaica who tell you that if you are going to obey the plan of salvation, there's no way you can do that in a day? Why? You see, you have to attend a candidate class for like a good 3 months or 6 months or so. And then when you pass the test and satisfy the teacher that you understand certain doctrine, then you can be baptized. That's an additional step. So here they are saying, we don't have any different color up here, right? So we have to stick with the one color. So here they are saying, well, you hear, you believe, you repent, you confess, then you must know, what is the little thing here? That. You must then go to candidate class and pass. If you don't attend and pass candidate class, you can't become a Christian. No. In my full knowledge and wisdom, I'll confess, with some of the things I've seen in terms of the amount of persons who become Christians and backslide, that look like it makes sense. Because when you put them through the candidate class and then after 6 months of teaching, then they make up their minds for truth that they want to come in, then they are likely to stay. That sort of makes sense. Makes sense. But guess what? That's not God's plan. Have they not read Acts chapter 2 and verse 41? Then they that gladly receive the word
were baptized.
Were baptized.
And the same day.
And the what?
And the same day.
And the next day.
And the same day.
And the next month.
And the same day.
The next quarter.
Same day.
The next half year.
The same day.
The very same day they became Christian. How can you read that and then still come and say, we must have a candidate class? You are the person teaching this would be perverting the way of God. Does this have any consequence? Can I pervert God's plan of salvation? And God says, that's all right. Can I just add something? And God says, well, I'm okay. Can I just take away something that God would have put in there? And then God is just okay with that? Are there any consequences? Time permitting, we will talk a little about consequence in a few minutes. But not only the plan of salvation, but also worship. But also worship. You know, Romans chapter 1 and verse 25 gives us a good concept of what worship is. At the root of worship is who worship is offered to. Who is honored? Who is given worth? And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, we get a good sense of where the tug of war is in worship. What does it say?
Who changed the truth of God into a lie.
All right, so we can change the truth of God into a lie.
And worshipped and served the creature more than the creator.
So in worship, we have the creature and we have the creator. It boils down to that, you know. There are two players when we come down to worship. When we are worshiping, there are two entities. There are two beings at play. There is the creator and there is the creature. When we are here worshiping, we are worshiping, we are paying homage to the creator. We are the creatures. We are the created ones. And we were created to worship the creator. Now we get it all mixed up. No. Read it again for me. Verse 25. Romans 1.
Who changed the truth of God into a lie.
I'll stick there a little. Here again, we change the truth of God. That's the same concept. Oh, we didn't have the heading up here. All right. Perverting God's ways. That's what we're talking about. Perverting God's way. And this is exactly, this passage is saying, no, in terms of worship, we can pervert, we can change the truth of God. How? When we mix up who is to be getting the honor and the glory. Because they change the truth of God
into a lie.
Into a lie.
and worshipped and served the creature.
So instead of worshipping and serving the creator, what do?
Worshipped and served the creature.
They are worshipping and serving the creature. And then somebody says, what are you talking about? When I come in here, I'm not worshipping any created thing. I don't build any statue. I don't have any image that I'm bowing down to. Question. Is it possible that we are worshipping ourselves? Wow. I'm worshipping myself? Well, if it is that when I am offering worship, what I'm trying to do is for me to feel good, then I am worshipping me. If it is that when I am worshipping, the aim is that at the end, I must feel nice. I must feel some tingling because it is about me. And when we come and we say, we want to play piano, guitar, when I say I want to knock the tambourine and feel nice, who wants that? Amen. Was that something that the creator asked for? Or is that something that the creature, the one that has been created, is craving for? You see, worship, as God has specified, has God as the recipient. He ought to be the center and the direction of our worship. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, as well as Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, says something interesting. So we're going to read both of them quickly. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Says what?
Speaking to yourselves
in psalms
and hymns
and
spiritual songs.
So this is a worship setting. All right, so we are singing, you know, and when we come and sing, you know, it's I think it's a good thing that we have the song, okay? Because the words that have been captured in these hymns and these songs, they are so rich. If when we are worshipping, we really reflect and understand what we are singing, there are some powerful messages that we are proclaiming. And it says that when we participate in these type of singing, read again for me.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual
songs.
Somebody
says, wait. So you see, it's to ourselves. Eh? It's ourselves, you know, speaking to yourself. So we are the direction. Well, continue reading.
Singing and making melody.
Making melody
in your heart.
In your heart. So wait. So is the creature again? That is our heart. It's finished.
To the Lord.
To the Lord. So we recognize that while it is us who are singing and we are making melody in our minds. Why is it melody? Because when I'm singing these songs, it's worship. It's just like when they were doing the incense and burning it. And it came up to God as a sweet smelling savor. When we sing the way God has asked us to, it stimulates our minds, because it is not just an emotional feel, but it is understanding. It is stimulating our minds, and it is echoing praise to God. It is the words of the songs oftentimes
we find ourselves in a situation where we are making requests. And these persons who have penned these words, they have done well. That when we reflect on what the words of some of these songs are saying, it captures it in a beautiful way. We can actually join in the words of poets who just know to string words together and echo it in a way. And when we are singing this with understanding, then that is really melody that we are making, not on instruments now, but in the mind. But notice that while it is in the mind of the creature, it is directed to the Creator. And that is the way that God expects us to worship Him. That's the way, that's God's way. Man's way is to come up with something different. So while God says, make the melody in your minds, we have gotten carried away and we start to make the melody on all kinds of strings, all kinds of rhythms, clapping the hands and the tambourine and the drum. And guess what? Those things sound good. Yeah. Music and instruments sound good. But that's not what the Creator asks for. So we can't go there. If we go there, then we are perverting the ways that He has specified for us. Can I move on quickly? Not only do we pervert God's way in the plan of salvation in worship, but we also pervert God's way with religious claims or acts. Really? How you swing that, Brother Webb? Well, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have many persons who claim to do a whole lot of things that do not seem to fit into what we see in the Word of God. Do you know that there are persons who will tell you that they can work miracles today? And so, sometimes you'll hear people planning crusades and they say, come, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. And if we are not careful, we say, well, we know that this miracle thing is not really on today. But if they say they're working miracles when God says miracles have ceased, then is it such a bad thing? Are they really perverting, or is it that they're just misunderstanding? Are they really trying to deceive and to trick us? Well, can we spend a few minutes to just understand a little clearer this whole thing about miracle? Well, first of all right, let's pick up at verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost.
Alright, for time's sake, I'm going to ask to jump down to verse 7. Let me jump to the heart of it. Verse 7.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
Yes.
For to one is given by the Spirit.
Alright, let me use a con over here. Alright. Alright. So this is a pie. Okay. Pie? What is pie? Okay. This is a pizza. Alright. Alright.
And this pizza is not really so shared up so even. But I don't mind when the pizza don't share up so even. Because I get to choose. Once I get to choose early, then I know what slice I will take. Alright? Alright. Okay. Verse 7 again, brother.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
Alright. So, we get this whole pizza to feed the whole family. Alright. So, there are different manifestations of the Spirit that is given so that all of us overall will benefit. Yeah.
For to one is given by the Spirit,
yeah,
the word of wisdom.
Okay, so one part is wisdom.
To another, the word of knowledge.
So another gets knowledge, yeah. Let knowledge be big.
By the same Spirit.
The same Spirit, yes.
To another, faith by the same Spirit.
To another what?
Faith.
Right, that sound big, faith? Faith is the foundation of things. Right? Let that be a big one. Faith. Mm-hmm.
To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit.
Alright, so healing. So healing is there. So you're going like say healing not existing. Alright, continue. Mm-hmm.
To another, the working of miracles.
So, Brother Webb, you have preached for a doctrineer someone. Miracle. You see, miracle is there to profit with all. So how come you only want knowledge and faith and wisdom?
To another, prophecy.
Prophecy.
To another, discerning of spirits.
Alright, so you say, well, no. Make the pizza slice them so big that I can't have enough. But, alright, let me just do a little part here, sir. And say, etc. So, we have many parts. So one part, wisdom, healing, faith, miracle, prophecy, knowledge, etc. To profit with all. Yeah, read on a little more for me.
But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit.
So all of these is the one and the self same Spirit. So one part is that, one part is that, but it's the same one Spirit. So these are given in parts. I'm just going to fast forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10. You know, we tend to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, rightly so, as a chapter on love. You know, but it's not all about love. Well, it's the root. Love is at the base of everything. But there's a profound truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when we look at it in the full context, you know, sometimes we separate it. Oh, it's a chapter of love. But the thing is, the concept that it is teaching is coming way back from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it's talking about the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And then in verse 10, it says something quite interesting. Read.
But when that which is perfect is come.
When that which is perfect is come. Right, let me put a little asterisk about that. When that which is perfect is come. Yes.
Then that which is in part.
Then that which is in part
shall be done away.
So what it is saying is that these things that are in part, that were given in a supernatural way at the starting of the church, when that which is perfect is come, then these gifts that were given in different parts will remain.
Shall be done away.
So when the knowledge of our unhealthy pizza can be comes into our awareness, and I tell you, you know, health is an interesting thing. You know, what Eddie usually say? Everything that is nice and really, really, really nice is either sinful or not good for your health. You know, so, you know, the Ministry of Health has been in recent times promoting, you know, and it has sort of caught me, you know. Are you drinking yourself sick? You know, so, you know.
I was one of those persons who thought I was doing well when I drink cran water. Right? And then they advertise and saying, oh, you know how much of whatever is in that? Are you drinking yourself sick? When that which is perfect is come, then all of these miraculous way of getting the church built up, they are given in part, they shall be done away. It will no longer remain when that which is perfect is come. Can I tell you that the word of God is perfect? The word, the gospel, is here with us. And we can in natural ways develop on these gifts that are relevant to us today. But that can be a whole lesson by itself. I had asked the brother to just jump down, but let us go back up to verse 2 and read again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm trying to get to the last point.
Verse 2, yes. Ye know that ye were Gentiles,
yes,
carried away unto these dumb idols,
mm-hmm,
even as ye were led.
Yeah.
Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed,
mm-hmm,
and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord,
mm-hmm,
but by the Holy Ghost.
All right.
Now there are diversities of gifts,
yes,
for the same Spirit.
So, okay, so it talks about Jesus. All right. It's now speaking about the Spirit. Yes. Continue. By the same Spirit.
And these are the differences of administrations,
yes,
but the same Lord.
Yes.
And there are diversities of operations.
There are diversities of operations.
But it is the same God which worketh all in all.
Alright. So here we start realizing that, you know, this whole thing about the Lord Jesus, the Spirit and God, that they are all intertwined into the working of things. Now, I'm segueing here to highlight that another way that we see deceit and trickery is a view of deity. Our view of deity or the Godhead. So, from Corinthians, we are seeing that we are already seeing three distinct persons in the Godhead. Would you believe that there are religious bodies out there, persons we are interacting with, coming knocking on our doors, that would want to tell us that Jesus really is not God? So remember up here when I put this little thing here? You know, we're confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is in fact God. That there are persons who would tell us, who would pervert God's wisdom and God's truth and the gospel and say that, oh, He was just a perfect man. You know, there's nothing God about Him. He was just a man who lived and lived uprightly. That is false. He was not just a perfect man. He was God, and He was man. You know, John, St. John chapter 1 following, you know, we can look at that and, well, let's have it. I'm not going to, if we do an extra 2 minutes, that's okay. St. John chapter 1, verse 1 following.
In the beginning was the Word.
Was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
And the Word was God. You could stop right there. You know? And the Word was God. But read on.
The same was in the beginning.
The same was in the beginning.
With God.
With God.
All things were made by Him.
And all right. Mm-hmm. So the Word is God. Continue. Mm-hmm. Read.
All things were made by Him.
Yes.
And without Him was not anything made that was made.
So somebody is reading and say, oh, so this is God the Father. Read.
In him was life.
In him was life. That must be the Father. Mm-hmm.
And the life was the light of men. Mm-hmm. And the light shineth in darkness.
Yes.
And the darkness comprehended it not.
Yes, read.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John.
Yes.
The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light,
yes,
that all men through him might believe.
Yes.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light.
All right, okay. So since I only asked 2 minutes more, all right, jump down to verse 14.
And the Word was made flesh.
All right. The Word was made flesh.
And
so we recognize now that we are not talking about God the Father. So the Word here is not referring to God the Father, because we are now told that the Word was made flesh. Who was made flesh? Jesus Christ. Read on.
And dwelt among us. And we behold.
Whoever this Word is, dwelt among mankind.
Amen.
Who dwelt among mankind?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, we can now go back to verse 2 and read with greater intelligence.
Amen.
Well, let's start at verse 1.
In the beginning
was the
Word.
Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
The Word was God. Therefore, Jesus is God.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, when you come and you say, Jesus is not God, you are perverting the truth of the gospel. You are perverting the truth of the gospel. As I close, we ask ourselves, if a person does in fact pervert the ways of God, will God just accept this? Or are there consequences? Let us let the text where we started speak. Acts chapter 13, verse 10 and 11. That's where we were.
And said, O full of subtlety,
yes,
and all mischief,
yes,
thou child of the devil,
the child of the devil,
thou enemy of all righteousness,
mm-hmm,
wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?
All right, you're perverting the right ways of the Lord. Continue.
And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon
the
thee.
The hand of the Lord is upon you.
And thou,
we cannot just pervert the ways of God and there's no consequence.
Amen.
The hand of God will be against you.
Amen.
Against us.
Amen.
You know, the word of the hand of God is a beautiful thing, you know.
Right.
That the hand of God can help us.
That's,
you know, that's a whole other lesson.
That's right.
But when the hand of God starts working against us, not a pretty thing. And so we cannot see persons perverting, changing the truth of the gospel. What God says, plan of salvation, worship, religious claims and acts and views about God, and say, oh, God don't mind. It will have consequences. The hand of God will work against us. Read. Not only will the hand of God work against us, but...
And thou shalt be blind.
You will be blind. In this immediate context, it was physical blindness. But do you know, and I strongly believe this, that there are many in our religious world today, they can remain in the religious state that they and don't feel any way.
That's right.
Because the hand of God is now against them.
Right.
And blind.
That's right.
So that even when you go and talk to them,
right,
they can't see,
right,
what we are saying.
Right.
God has sent them a strong delusion.
Right.
that they would believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11. So we should not be shocked. You know, I still have a vivid recollection of talking to my grandfather. I was very young at the time, but I was a member of the church. And I was trying to teach him some of the little truth that I understood. And when I think I made the point, you know, he just brushed it aside and started to show some other, in fact, he started to say, and I love my grandfather, he started to say, go to point to say, well, Jesus did not say that. It is Peter and Paul that says that. You know, and the truth just eluded him. Probably I wasn't effective in sharing. But sometimes we come as clear as we can, opening the Word of God, and persons just cannot see. But they might be feeling the consequence. The consequence of God's hand working against them and blinding them, giving them this strong delusion. You know, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5 shares the same type of sentiments. That a consequence of our action is that the truth of the gospel will not continue with us. You see, the same concept, perverting the gospel, perverting the right ways of God. You know, if we have no guarantee that the truth of the gospel will continue with us when we pervert his ways. So I make the appeal to us that if it is that as members of the church, we have found ourselves in a situation where we start seeing our friends, our family members in denomination and saying, well, they are still okay, that this lesson will help us to realize that false teaching, anything that perverts or changes the ways of God, the truth of His gospel, that this is not acceptable. Because it has consequences. It will actually cause the hand of God to work against us. If you are here and not a part of the body, and you have been believing some of these areas that men have perverted God's way in, today is as good as any other day to step out. You know, the story continued to say that the blind man sought somebody to lead him. You know, even though you are in this state, you can be led. God will work with you. He will put you in a state where you can obey the gospel. Not with any addition. No candidate class needed. So we're not going to add anything. Even today, like that man who was struck blind, you can obey the gospel fully. He believed, he repented, he confessed, he was baptized. You can do that tonight if your desire is such. Tonight is as good a time as any to stop or to prevent the hand of God from working against you. The worst hand that can work against us. We invite the song leader to come with a song of invitation.
Please stand. 279.